The show you're about to listen to is very old and comes with a warning. When we recorded these shows over a decade ago, the world was a different place and we were little more than children. As a result of this, you might hear a few things that by today's standards we judge to be inappropriate or offensive. Please don't be offended. In the years that have passed since recording these shows, we've all grown up to be wonderful, loving, liberal, free-thinking, open-minded individuals. If the us from over a decade ago say something to upset the you of today, please understand that we're as disgusted with ourselves as you are. But isn't this what life is all about? Learning and growing? We all said and did things in our younger days that make us cringe when we think about them. We just recorded it and put it out on the internet. With all that in mind, I hope you enjoy the show. Oh, and there's just one more thing. Don't email the show or try to enter competitions. We don't have that email anymore, and all the competitions are over. We do have a Facebook group where you're very welcome to discuss any aspects of the podcast. Please visit simplysyndicated.com for more information.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
Hello and welcome to Make It So, episode 18. Stall. This week we'll be talking about, what are we talking about this week?
We are talking about people getting away with shit.
People get away with far too much shit on Star Trek.
They do.
This was the topic suggested by Phil of Soccer Shout, the Soccer Shout podcast. Check that out, soccershout.com. I don't like football at all, so I've never listened to it.
Likewise.
I'm sure it's very good if you like football.
If you like football, I'm sure that's the podcast for you.
Yes, we were just exclaiming about the combination of a soccer and
Star Trek fan. It's kind of like Stalin and Hitler meeting up for coffee, I feel.
That's the analogy you come up with.
Well, ideologically speaking, football fans and Star Trek fans traditionally have gotten on about as well as sugar in a egg sandwich.
I see. I mean, I see men who are into football as men who tend to do things that your general Star Trek fan doesn't, such as
exercise,
go outside, meet people.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. That's a very unfair assumption of Star Trek fans. I'm now running through every piece of documentary footage of a Star Trek convention I've ever seen. They're very sociable people.
Yes.
Yet, in general, the stereotypical image of a Star Trek fan is far more recluse than that of a stereotypical soccer fan.
Yeah. It's not to say that the two worlds can't coincide or exist.
No, I'm all up for it. You know, let's mix it about.
In the spirit of Gene Roddenberry, let's befriend our friends.
There should be a Star Trek football team.
Star Trek football team. What would you call them?
I don't know. What's a good football team name?
I don't know.
I was never asked to play with the guys who played football at school, so I just grew up hating it. Mm. I was a very unpopular child. That was a lot to do with it.
Team Kronos. Yeah.
That would be the Klingon team.
Yeah.
They'd be vicious.
They're more rugby players, I feel.
I could see them as rugby players. Mm. I'm just imagining now the All Blacks playing a team of Klingons.
Well, this is something they never actually went... This is random, isn't it? That's something they never did with...
what the fuck are we talking about?
Well, with Star Trek, you imagine it, actually. Like, you know, the modern... I mean, they had, like, the sports. They had, like, Sisko liking baseball and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, and they touched on a bit about Worf playing football or something at school.
Yeah.
And he killed some kids, so that's why he holds back.
Did he really?
He accidentally killed somebody when he was playing a game of football.
Yeah.
Which is why he doesn't have as much fun as all the other Klingons, because he's been around humans who are weaker than him, so he has to hold back a bit. But can you imagine, like, let's say, a rugby game with, like, a Klingon side and a human side?
That'd be awesome.
It'd be amazing.
It would be carnage.
Blood running down the sides of the field. Brilliant.
Awesome.
Mm. Or chess with a Beta Z. Beta Zoid.
That would be awful. They'd know exactly what move you were going to make.
Yeah.
You'd do that and go, I know.
Yeah.
That would piss you off. If you were a Beta Zoid, just to wind people up after everything they said, they go, oh, yeah, I know.
Well, this is the thing with Next Gen. How many times were they playing poker with fucking Troy?
Beta Zoid.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
You have to really trust them not to be reading your mind at that point. I mean...
Yeah.
You know, I get this sense. I say, you know, lousy fucking Beta Zoid, if you can't tell Will Riker's fucking bluffing.
Someone said on the forum, I can't remember who it was, about what she would have been picking up on the bridge of the Enterprise with an adolescent Wesley Crusher sat in front of her and Will Riker just to her right, and just imagining whose mucky thoughts would win through in the battle to get into her head.
You imagine, like, season one, I think, you know, she'd just walk into the turbo lift and, you know, just catch Tasha Yar checking her ass a little bit and something, and really? Tasha?
You always get the feeling Tasha would at least swing both ways.
I think Tasha would swing both ways. I mean, that's an enormous assumption. In fact, entirely based on the fact that she had short hair.
That's exactly what it
is. And that she was the chief of security.
Exactly.
Which is a terrible thing to say.
No, it's a horrible stereotype.
Yeah.
Women with short hair, men with big moustaches.
Women with short hair in security. I think it's fair to... No, it's not fair to assume at all, but it is a stereotype.
Allison was in the
room. We've just jumped right into it.
Yeah, we're dead now. Let's talk about what we're actually going to talk about.
Yes, let's.
This week, as we've just said, we're talking about people who get away with shit on Star Trek.
Yeah. By this, we mean basically how the rules of protocol and the Star Trek, the Starfleet rules and regulations, et cetera, seem to be broken with impunity whenever the situation shoots them. But
I'm having trouble tonight.
It's like my brain short-circuited on some level. I don't know what's quite going on. I was thinking Michael Dorn was actually Tony Todd earlier, and
I can't believe that we had that conversation.
It was very bizarre. They play brothers, all right? It's easy to get them confused.
No, it's not. I've got to tell everybody how the conversation went.
Right, okay.
There was a picture of Kern on a website. I said, who played Kern? You went, it's Michael Dorn. No, that's Worf. No, that's a picture of Kern, the candy man, Michael Dorn. And I'm just looking at you thinking, what has happened? What's gone wrong?
That was the second example, though. There was another point in the evening when something like that happened as well. Never mind. Anyway, so yeah, when the rules become appropriate for a story or something, you know, oh, you've broken the rules, so we're going to have to go into a big disciplinary about why we have these rules in place, versus the episodes when they just break all the rules and they get away with it because their intentions were good and noble at heart.
Yeah, you do tend to get away with that as long as you mean well.
Mm.
You can pretty much do what you want as long as you mean well.
Prime Directive being... Probably I'm jumping in with the biggest example of how many times did the Prime Directive get interfered with. Not so much with DS9, but, you know, with the
other...
No, it didn't really come up with DS9.
They weren't flying around buggering with people.
No.
Like Picard and his lot.
Yeah.
Who were just out there messing people about, let's be honest, on one level or another. They were always causing somebody some trouble.
Well, when it suits them. I think Kirk was probably the worst at that one in particular.
Kirk didn't give a shit.
Mm. One thing I'm thinking, wasn't there a rule about fucking aliens?
With Kirk, the rule was to always do it.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure at some point it gets mentioned that you're not allowed to.
Shag aliens?
Unknown aliens, I think that
was the... I think it's a Starfleet regulation.
Yeah.
Just for personal safety reasons. I don't know where that came up. Something in my head is saying Enterprise.
Something in my head is saying, yeah, it was saying something else, but now it's saying Enterprise. I'm thinking about the one where Riker's on the planet with the aliens that don't have any gender.
No, I don't remember.
Was that a problem that the aliens had with them?
Oh, they weren't supposed to shag anyone because they were genderless. And if you shagged anyone, that meant that you showed a sign of having a particular gender and therefore should be mashed up. I don't know what they did with them. Then they cut the little willies off or whatever they had.
Right.
That's quite a graphic image, but that's what they do on that planet.
Mm.
You know?
You're quite low.
I know, I'm sorry. I'll put this through a compressor later and it'll all turn out fine.
Cool.
Hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully.
Good.
My favourite... No, I'm going to say that to the last, actually. I'm not going to tell you my favourite one right away.
Okay, all right, okay.
Let's go to a different instance.
Okay, let's
breaking the rules.
Think.
Wesley Crusher did it quite a lot.
Yeah.
More in a, if you just let me show you something, something will happen. He broke the rules a lot and caused a lot of problems, but generally by accident.
Mm.
I never felt there was much animosity on him. Data, however, caused shit tons of problems.
Mm.
It's fair to say. He probably took over the bridge on more than one occasion.
Well, the best example of that was in Brothers when he suddenly... That was actually a really good sequence, actually, when he starts the cascading force field sequence and walks, manages to walk all the way through the ship and blocks all the securities at exactly the right points.
It's too clever for them.
Yeah.
That's Data. That's why he's so cool.
That was brilliant. But, you know, after that instance, as soon as you get him back, it's like, right, you're going to the shop, Data. We're going to just take a look through your head and see if there's any other little nasty chips in there.
You would check it out, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd want to know. Beverly Crusher always fucking got away with it, and she did it a hell of a lot, I think. I'm thinking in particular of the episode where she had a lot of visiting scientists on board. They were trying to make a shield that protects them against flying into a star. They all get killed.
Yeah.
And it's the guy who you can blow a hole in and it'll be fine.
Yeah, who's the actual murder victim.
But he's also the murderer.
But he's actually the murderer,
He can
yeah.
fool them and make them think he's dead, when in actual fact he's just hiding.
Yeah, that was quite good, actually. I quite liked that episode.
Interesting episode.
Yeah.
But she steals a shuttlecraft without permission. She performs an autopsy on the Ferengi dude when she's specifically being told not to.
Yeah.
She does many other things in many other episodes, and she's quite cheeky with Picard on more than one occasion.
And just gets away with it.
Well, it's Beverly. I mean, you have the theory that Wesley is actually Picard's.
Yeah. Maybe the scene you don't see is when she says, now, listen, Jean-Luc, you take me to trial and skeletons in the closet and all that, you know.
All that sort of thing.
DNA test on old Wesley.
And, you know, your time's limited on that because his hair's going to start falling out at some point.
Yep. 18 years of child support back pay.
Do they have child support back pay in Starfleet?
Probably not.
She wasn't struggling, it's fair to say.
It's fair to say, but, you know, still entitled.
Fair enough. Worf.
Worf committed murder in one episode and on more than one occasion.
Awesome. That was one of my very favourite moments in Star Trek history, is when he's fighting with
Duras.
And Riker comes in as he's got him pinned and Worf just looks at him and stabs him through the neck.
Yeah. Because you were thinking with that episode, weren't you, all the way through, like when they're coming to the ship and he shouts Worf, his eyes can be the pussy Star Trek ending, and like, he's just going to stop and...
No, I can't kill you.
I can't kill you because you're defenseless lying on the ground. No, not Worf. Worf does it.
See, it makes you shudder in a really cool, excited way.
And then Worf managed to get... Well, yeah, so he got away with that one. And then when his brother came to DS9, Tony Todd, when his brother came to DS9, he suddenly he needed to kill. We wanted it's dishonorable to kill yourself, so he wanted Worf to kill him.
Yes,
and Worf quite nastily plunges a dagger into his chest and nearly kills him, but meddling old Dax bursts in and saves the day.
She's a pain from time to time, it's fair to say.
I think Worf was suspended or something from duty for about 2 days and then got a bit of a bollocking and then, you know, taken back. It's fair to say that if I took a knife right now and stabbed you in the chest and some people caught me doing that, I'd be in jail.
Probably.
You know, fair to say. And I think most other characters in Star Trek, had they plunged a dagger into their brother's heart deliberately, would probably be in jail.
It is.
Yet Worf gets away with it.
The clearest definition of murder, really, isn't it?
A little slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's quite lax sometimes. This makes me a little ashamed, to be honest. The things that you can get away with, Just blatantly get away with. I think Spock took over the Enterprise once.
Yeah.
The same way Data did. I think that episode might have been taken from the original series a little bit in that way. And again, Spock's fine. Mm. Spock did all right for himself.
I think Chief O'Brien disobeyed orders on a number of occasions. It was all those more rebellious characters, wasn't it?
We have the instances where people are disobeying orders, but they're possessed by some sort of entity.
You can give them that.
You can give them that, but some do it. But Chief O'Brien did that. He caused a lot of problems, as did Deanna Troi. Deanna Troi, really a blight on the Enterprise in all forms. you know, unless you want someone to go and talk to you from time to time who then looks at you and goes, are you sure that's how you feel?
Yeah.
So you go, Well, I never thought of it like that. Yes, I'm fine now.
It's fair to say the Star Trek staff didn't have any writers, didn't have any psychiatrists on their writing staff.
I think that's true. How do you feel? You're an empath.
Mm. Tell me.
Disappointed. That's how I feel. So many people would say that to me on a daily basis. Have you got a copy of that holodeck program of you that's going about, they'd say?
Yeah.
And she'd just scowl. Maybe she'd eventually just start crying when people kept bringing it up. It'd be on Star Trek BitTorrent.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Star Trek YouTube.
See, now I'm imagining that as a concept, and it's pretty cool.
Holographic YouTube.
Yeah.
Quite good. So what else? What other things, what other shit do people get on with, get away with?
Well, I'll give you my favourite. I've held this all in suspense long enough for what is essentially an anticlimax. In, I want to say unification, when they have the sensor tachyon grid thing with a million ships from Starfleet.
That's Redemption.
Redemption. It was a Tasha Yar Romulan one.
Yeah, Redemption, I think Part 2.
Yeah, that was it. And
which is the shittest idea of all time.
It was quite shoddy.
So hang on, before you say, you know, they build a net of rays with loads of ships covering a distance. Now, last time I checked, I'm pretty sure space was infinite.
Yes.
In all directions. So we're pretty sure, you know, if you were really that bothered about it, you could just go around it. Might take you a little bit longer.
I did think also how wide were the gaps in the beams, because really they had to break a beam, and your beams then have to be not as wide as a Romulan warbird, not as far apart as the width of a Romulan warbird, because then it would have to fly through beams no matter what.
Yeah, but even that aside, even if like the beams were...
You
just go around it. Yeah. It might take you at the most a few days. But
this is, I'm going to give him this on the grounds that it's one of those concepts that you can sort of suspend belief over, and if you don't, the whole thing is flawed.
Hmm.
So you have to.
All right.
And we let people in films and TV get away with occasional things like that. You still don't know where Superman puts his Clark Kent outfit when he's Superman.
Down his pants.
We will never know.
Down his pants.
Or up should have done that. That's what they should have done for the new
down
film.
Down his pants and up his ass.
None of that, because there was great debate over the size of his package, wasn't there?
Mm.
In Superman Returns.
I have no
idea.
And
I believe it was even digitally altered in various shots throughout the film.
Really?
Yes, it was a huge controversial issue, was how big should his knob be? Because with Superman, with the outfit, it's here's my knob.
Yeah.
That's what it is, the whole outfit. So how big should his knob be?
Yeah.
Should it be a little bump just at the top, or should it be down the leg of his tights?
How fast should his speeding bullet go?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so Data does what?
So basically, I think Picard gives the order to retreat or move, and Data's onto something. He's sort of twigged what they're doing, what the Romulans are up to.
Mm.
And he's found a way to scan for them, as he often does at the last minute, just by reconfiguring the sensors. Something which, of course, is perfectly doable, but doesn't have any official controls over. You have to rip the ship apart.
Yeah.
That's one for the next topic, actually. and as a result, he finds the Romulans and saves the day, even though he disobeyed a direct order.
This happens on a number of occasions, though.
Disobeying direct orders
is perfectly fine as long as you save the day.
Yeah. So at the end of the episode, the final scene, Data marches into Picard's ready room and says, "I'm here for my court-martialing, sir. Even though I did a good thing, I shouldn't be let off."
Mm.
And we all think, fair enough.
Fair enough,
Let's bollock him.
Yeah.
And
disobeyed a direct order.
He gives in this speech, you know, the order I was just... The excuse I was just obeying orders has been given far too often and resulted in horrific things, blah-de-blah.
Mm-hmm.
You did the right thing. So you're left thinking,
what's the point in orders then?
But the best bit is that as Data turns and walks out of the ready room, Picard just calls him back and he looks at him and he goes, "Mr. Data, very well done." And smiles at him. And that's another one of my favourite Star Trek moments.
That's not just getting away with it. That's getting away with
cheeky
it.
Cheeky fucker. That was brilliant.
That was awesome. Thank you. Thank you for saving
save
the day.
Save the day.
Yeah.
Save the day, Data.
Save the day.
Save the day.
Disobeyed my order. Brilliant. I'm trying to think of other examples of this. Now, not only disobeying orders or disobeying rules, but what happens when the shit goes down? I mean, in this day and age, and I'm imagining it's not going to be too dissimilar in a Star Trek type universe, let's say a police officer walks into a situation, something happens, blah, 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 suspect pulls a gun, he pulls his gun, shoots him. Mm. That police officer then has to go back and fill out a whole shitload of paperwork.
Yes, there is a great deal of paperwork.
Now, when Deanna Troi crashed the Enterprise for the second time, all right, under orders, but...
There's going to be a few sheets of A4 doing.
Yeah, there's going to be a little bit of, you know, where were you when this happened? What were you exactly thinking? Had you ever piloted the ship before? Who put you there? You have 1,000 crew members on board, and you took the helm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have in my mind the image of the Starfleet Inquiry, and she sat there on her own in the middle of this big room in front of this huge table with lots of admirals sat behind it. Mm. And there's this one guy in the middle who's chairing it all, and he's sort of just shaking his head, and he's ever so quiet, just looking at her for ages. And then he eventually just goes, "What the fuck?" And they all jump a bit. Like, two of them. Two of them. They're huge. And you've broken two of them. That's how that would go down.
Yeah.
I can see that. And she'd just start to cry a bit. And I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Two of them. You had lessons. Wesley fucking Crusher never came close to anything.
Flying it for 4 years.
And he was a child.
Did he ever dent anything?
Not once.
Not once.
Not even a scrape in a car park.
Nope.
No. Never nope. Even opened the door onto another starship.
Never rear-ended anyone at quarter impulse.
Nothing like that. Deanna Troi hits a planet.
Mm.
And as you so kindly pointed out earlier, with space being infinite, the chances of actually hitting anything is fairly remote.
Yep.
It's quite absurd. That's a very big side topic, but one that frustrates me more than anything Wesley Crusher ever did.
Yeah.
Not as much as Harry Kim's hair and its floppiness.
Well, so then we go on to bureaucracy, really, in terms of, I mean, it's interesting how much free rein a Starfleet crew has. What exactly do the admirals do?
Fuck all.
At a time, you know, I mean, okay, in DS9 you see them in war and everything, and like the admirals are organising task forces and giving them assignments
when something's actually going on. Do you remember when you were at first school, you'd think that teachers spent too much time in a staff room drinking coffee?
Mm.
That's what admirals do.
Yeah.
They sit in their staff room, all admirals together, unbutton that top button, and have a coffee.
Yeah.
They've got a pool table in there, a telly, and an Xbox.
It's a smoky room, isn't it?
It's a very smoky
very
room.
Very smoggy room. Mm. And, yeah, and that's all. I mean, all they do is actually sit back and say, actually, I think the Enterprise should go here this week. Don't know what they're going to do when they get there. But they never actually, you know, there's none of this sort of, like, Captain Picard has to make a monumental decision that's going to, have monumental consequences. God, fucking hell, what's wrong with me? Consequences. I can't actually say that word.
Consequences.
Yeah. He has to make a decision that is going to affect a lot of people's lives. And never once, or very rarely, does he ever actually have to, you know, get on the comm with Admiral Ross or Admiral whoever to say...
Just check.
Is it all right if I do this?
Yeah. I mean, how many big decisions do people in general have to just check with their boss for?
Exactly.
Most of them.
You know, I have to check with my boss if I want to go across the road, you know what I mean? If I, you know, I want to drop something off at another department, I say, oh, you know, it's all right if I just go across and drop this off here, you know.
Let alone fly across the galaxy at warp 9.
Well, not even, yeah, exactly, let alone that, or, I don't know, making, you know, just an average Star Trek Next Gen episode where they have something going on, you know what I mean? It's like, and then when the admirals do turn up, it doesn't really feel like the missions that they turn up for are much more important than any of the other ones that they didn't turn up for in the past.
What's above an admiral?
That's it.
Who's
I think.
In charge of all the admirals? Who's head admiral?
Well, there's the chief, the commander in chief of Starfleet.
Right.
Who you ever only, I'm pretty sure I've only ever seen him, you've only ever seen him once.
Right.
And that was in Star Trek VI.
Okay.
Where they sit down and they've got the, and it was the big thing, the Klingons are running out of fuel, they want to negotiate a peace.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's
like,
guy, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the CNC. And he enters and they all sit and they listen to him and then he walks out and there's a few admirals and then there's Kirk and his crew for some reason. All of his command staff are there for some reason.
He just got away with so fucking much, Kirk.
Mm.
Take Star Trek 2, 3 and 4.
Mm.
All one continuous... Two fingers to Starfleet Command, really.
Not so much two, but yeah.
Well, from and four, certainly. There was a great deal of bollocking up but saving the day going on.
Well, three in particular.
Yeah.
Steal the Enterprise, blow it up, maybe possibly nearly spark a war with the Klingon Empire.
Yes.
Come home, but you managed to save the day.
That's what it is. It's
the
saving
thing.
the day thing. Had
you know.
Star Trek 4 not happened,
yeah.
They'd have all have been executed.
Yeah.
I don't think they actually did that in the Federation anymore.
No, they didn't execute people.
No, but they should have been for all those violations. Stealing the fucking Enterprise. It's not a little thing.
Nearly starting a war.
If you went down to Plymouth and stole a nuclear submarine, what do you think they'd do to you when they caught you? It wouldn't be very nice.
No.
They certainly wouldn't go, you know what, I think you should be a captain again.
Yeah.
Seeing as you did so well with our nuclear submarine you stole and drove around the Pacific for a little while, we're going to give you one.
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen, but it did to Kirk. And not only did they just give him a ship, they gave him the new flagship that they'd just built because he blew the other fucker up.
Yeah.
It's a little bit... Mm. How did you, jammy bastard?
Well, they didn't actually build it to be the flagship. That was an interesting thing, actually. Why?
It was the Excelsior.
No, it wasn't. It was the actual ship. I don't know what the flagship was meant to be. The flagship was still the Enterprise, and then probably the Excelsior would have been the flagship.
Right.
No, it wouldn't have been, because the flagship's always the Enterprise. But they were probably going to build another Enterprise. But they had... it's in one of the books I read, and it's actually... Because it's a bit convenient that Ulva had another Enterprise just ready.
It is a bit.
But it isn't actually, because it was apparently it was named something else. And then because they blew it up, they changed the name and gave it to Kirk.
Got the spray cans out.
You know, got the spray cans out on the top deck. And, you know, but missed one underneath.
Do you realise what happened to the Excelsior in the end?
No,
not really in the end. Beginning of pre-Star Trek VI. As it was built... You know, we first see the Excelsior in Star Trek 3, and it's this new high-tech, unbelievable ship.
Mm.
Scotty breaks it.
Yeah.
And I always felt with the whole transwarp thing, once Scotty had broken it, the people who built it just went, oh, it didn't work then, and went home.
Yeah.
They never looked why, because transwarp never came back.
Scotty broke transwarp drive and got away with it.
Exactly. Nothing was ever said to him about that one
again. Nope. Sulu... assaulted two Starfleet security officers. Judo chopped them and chucked them across the room.
Yes, he did. I believe someone was even shut in a cupboard by Uhura.
Yeah. But get smart with me, Shorty.
The Excelsior goes from being the ship that it's built to be in Star Trek 3, whereas at the beginning of Star Trek 6, when you listen to Sulu's captain's log bit, you realise they've been in the middle of fucking nowhere for 5 years
cataloguing gaseous anomalies in Beta Quadrant.
What the fuck? Sulu, we've got an assignment for you.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit of a long one, and it's not too exciting.
5 years of cataloguing
gas. Which, let's face it, blows around.
Yeah.
So once you're done, it was pointless. But you know what the fuck? You've got the fucking Excelsior. Biggest ship. Yeah, send it off there.
Sulu must have fucked some admiral's wife or something, or, you know...
Or some admiral's husband.
Yeah, that's George Takei, not Sulu.
Hello.
Is
that a Family Guy thing?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it's a Or is it? Yeah, no, it's a Family Guy thing, yeah.
Yeah. Data with the little girl, was it pen pals?
Pen friend
or whatever.
Breaks the Prime Directive. I'm trying to think if Sisko ever did something really monumental.
Well, he was interviewed by the Temporal Prime Directive people on more than one occasion.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Of course, in Enterprise, they show them sort of coming up with the idea for the Prime Directive.
Yeah, I always thought that was a good episode idea.
Yeah,
but
I felt it was a bit wishy-washy because at the end of it, it was sort of one day there will probably be a Prime Directive, but not now. So let's just screw over these people as I see fit.
Mm.
No. I want to see them presenting the case for a Prime Directive
yeah.
to that bald guy at Starfleet.
Yeah.
Who looks a bit like Jim from Neighbours, but he's not him.
No. And then he died, didn't he?
He was in Lost this week.
Was he?
I watched this week's Lost, and you know what? I absolutely enjoyed it from beginning to end. It was a Desmond episode.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, no bloody backstory rubbish.
No?
It wasn't, was it?
It was quite a good episode, yeah.
I quite enjoyed it.
Who was he in that episode?
What?
Who was he in that episode?
He was Desmond, the Scottish guy.
No. The guy who played the Admiral in Enterprise. He said he was in...
No.
Didn't you?
No.
Right.
Shall I tell you how we got to that?
How did we get to
that? I said he looked like Jim from Neighbours.
Yeah.
But he's not.
No.
Jim from Neighbours, I then said, was in this week's episode of Lost.
Ah, right. I thought you meant the guy was in Lost. Right, yeah. Jim from Neighbours was in Lost.
The guy who played in... He wasn't in Lost.
No, I can't remember anything. What was his name anyway? Forrest something, wasn't it? Admiral Forrest.
Admiral Forrester.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
With the Starfleet uniform and a tie.
And a tie, yeah, I remember the ties.
We still have ties. Ties survived the Third World War, that nuclear holocaust.
Mm.
We didn't get through that and think, you know what, after this, I can't be arsed with a tie. Ties seem rather trivial after the holocaust.
After the holocaust, yeah.
Whether I have this thing around my neck, silly concept.
Never mind.
Didn't do away with those, though. But there you go. I think we've done this one reasonably well, you know.
I think we've done it reasonably well. I'm patting ourselves on the back there.
See,
I'm trying to think of other examples of it, though, because I know there's some DS9 and Voyager didn't really, I don't know.
There were no orders to disobey, really.
No.
I mean, just people getting away with it. And she couldn't really get rid of anyone anyway.
Yeah.
When you think about it, I'm sure Chakotay fucked her off a bit, but...
Yeah, I think there was a couple where it was, you know, if I didn't need you on this ship so much, I'd get rid of you right now or something like that.
Yeah.
There was the odd one where I think the Worf nearly killing his brother was a proper bollocking at the end of that one.
A Sisko bark.
He got a Sisko barking bollocking from at the end of that one. And nearly that was it. But obviously wasn't going to be. But, yeah. You know, but there was, you know, occasions where they were like, you know, if I didn't need you so much,
you'd be out that airlock.
You'd be out the airlock, yeah, but no.
That's it. Enterprise, I can't remember it. I've blocked it out of memory. It started flooding back a little bit at the time. Mm.
Odo fucking bollocks things up on a number of occasions as well.
No, what was it we were watching last weekend? The one where he was being jelly with that woman.
Yeah, he links with the female shapeshifter. He completely blows the plan, nearly gets Rom executed. But then he saves the day.
So it's fine again.
Never underestimate the element of surprise, he says, and it's all cool. And she says, what about the female shapeshifter? And he says, doesn't really mean that much to me. It's just one night.
It's just a shag.
Just quick link.
It's you I love.
It's you I love, really.
And he gets away with it.
Yeah.
And remember, darling, I saved the day.
Yeah.
gotta remember that. And he gets back in.
That's
cheeky
it.
Cheeky fucker.
Mm-hmm.
Cheeky fucker. I'm sure there are many more that we can't think of.
Well, no, I'm just trying to think of more modern analogies for it. So let's say, for example, I walk into a bank and I try to rob the bank and I get loads of money. But on my way out, someone falls down and starts having a cardiac arrest on the floor. So I give them mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and they come back to life and they say, and I get arrested by the police. But then in court, I just say, well, you know.
I helped that guy.
I helped that guy. I saved the day.
Yeah, that's a bit, I don't know about that. But
they'd still send me down.
Yeah, it's just coming up with examples of doing a bad thing, then a good thing, and getting away with a bad thing.
Yeah, it's not really going to
Not that complicated, really.
No, but it doesn't work in real life.
So don't try it.
It just works in Star Trek. Maybe in the 24th century they've got more of a I don't know.
They never said with Star Trek, don't try this at home.
No.
Some very dangerous stuff in Star Trek.
Yeah.
I tried to pilot the Enterprise, got nowhere.
Nope.
Nearly died.
Mm.
Right. Thank you for listening this week.
Yes.
If you like our inane chatter about Star Trek, please go over to Podcast Alley and give us a vote.
Mm-hmm.
Better yet, go over to dig.com and dig us. That's smashing.
Better yet, come back next week.
That's even better. That's I like that better. Very much. Write to your local councillor and say there should be more. I don't know. I'm talking bollocks.
Yeah, you are talking bollocks.
Check out our other shows as well. If you go to simplysyndicated.com/podcast, there's lots of other shows starring Mike and myself. I really enjoyed this week's Or Do You Think That's Just Bollocks? Because I've started to get people to phone in and have a rant on the phone line. And I had a few people phone in and I played those on the show. It was quite good. I had a new one today I wish I could play you. You'll have to listen to next week's show to hear it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
And we have our new show, The Definitive Word, with Will Tristram, myself and Richard for the next few weeks. Two episodes out. Episode 3 coming out on Friday.
Episode 2 is out now. It's about DRM.
Mm. All that thorny issues.
Well, it's a discussion about DRM. Rather than, it's not a tech program.
More about the moral principles of DRM rather than any technical battle.
Sociological debate.
I think we're forever changing the definition of the definitive word, actually. It seems to be
I like that, morphing. Though. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's quite ironic with it being called the definitive word.
Yeah.
We're quite hazy on what it's actually about as a show. Mind you, it's taken me 11 episodes of Do You Think That's Just Bollocks to have any clue what I was going to do with it. And I'm only just... This week's show is the first, real show I'm actually happy with.
Right.
And I don't think it was long enough. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Right, thank you for listening. See you next week.
Thank you for listening.